The following programming is sponsored by the Museum of Sports. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
For a decade and a half, the Eagles were the Bermuda Triangle of pro football, a team where hopes and careers vanished without a trace. The 1980 Philadelphia Eagles emerged from the troubled waters of their past and stood on the threshold of a new beginning. The Eagles were the champions of the National Football Conference.
Every one of us is a walking museum of sports, from that first ball game with your parents to maybe getting that nervous, sweaty autograph, to perhaps even taking your own kids to the very first game. It's the feeling we all get that brings us back to our own personal Philly Field of Dreams. And the Museum of Sports show is on the air and ready to go there with you. I'm Doug Scheimel, our show dedicated to sports memories, memorabilia, and the museum that's going to capture it all in the South Philadelphia Sports Complex. We're live on the Talk 860 and Museum of Sports Facebook pages, so you can take a look while we talk. The Museum of Sports show brought to you by the DePachi Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. Joining me from his sports cave in Villanova, he is our guide and mentor, Comcast Spectacor legend, founding vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers and creator of the Museum of Sports and author of the fantastic book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, A Flash and Cash Rescued the Flyers and Created Philadelphia's Greatest Showplace. Ladies and gentlemen, Philadelphia's greatest showman, Mr. Lou Scheinfeld. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited. The Inquirer had a big headline a couple of days ago. Eagles are Super Bowl favorites. Not favorites to get in there. Not favorites to win, beat Washington on Sunday, but to win the Super Bowl. And of course, the Phillies have the best lineup that money can buy. And it's Super Bowl. It's a World Series or a bust. Now, didn't we hear the same thing about the 76ers before this season started? They had Paul George. They had Embiid. They have Tyrese. They had everybody on a great bench. And they're 12 games under 500. So please, please, media, stop saying we're going to win when we don't win. It's not easy. It rarely ever happens.
Yeah. It's the curse. It's the curse. It's the curse. From her blue room, not quite Broncos blue, in South Jersey, is the Museum of Sports Director of Community Outreach, Susan Baxter. How you doing, Susan?
Good. I see you've upgraded your background, Doug. Very nice.
Well,
I've
sort of laid the Vikings helmet to rest. It's actually holding up the 32 other teams, or 31 other teams, I should say. Now it was time to do that, and I just figured, you know, it'll be put away until the start of next season. Hey, coming up today, NFL Hall of Fame sports writer, author, and just all-around great guy, Ray Didinger, is going to be talking Eagles. And he's actually going to be calling in from backstage of his play currently running at People's Light Theater in Malvern, his play Tommy and Me. Ray Didinger will be here. And another guest going to be, he's a Philly guy who wound up in San Diego and ended up opening an Eagles, Sixers, Phillies, Flyers bar. Mr. Boomer Iaconangelo is going to be here with us today. And our King of Sports Collectibles talks what's hot and what's affordable in the memorabilia market and how you can get a sneak peek at what is going to be in the Museum of Sports from the DePachi Memorabilia Collection. Nick DePachi Jr., our King of Sports Collectibles, is going to be here this week. You heard Lou's rant that the predictions are just a little premature, and it just, if you're superstitious at all, of predictions of Eagles going to and winning the Super Bowl, these are the sort of things you don't want to hear. Susan, what have you been hearing or not hearing that you want to talk about?
Similar too, but the one thing I wanted to bring up is, I travel a little bit for work, and the thing that warms my heart is traveling, and it's amazing no matter where I go, Fort Myers, Florida, Atlanta, I'm seeing a lot of Eagles merch, and I see it with the Phillies also, but it's, it just warms your heart. Of course, if I see Broncos once in a great while, it warms my heart too, but there, it's definitely out there. There's a lot of Eagles fans, whether they move to the area from up here or they just, they get it. They love the team.
Yeah, I agree. And one of our guests that we'll have coming up in the second segment is a guy, as you heard in the tease there, went out to seek fame and fortune in Hollywood, was a camera operator on several TV shows, but after a certain amount of time, just decided that that wasn't the way he wanted to sort of start a family and be gone 10 months out of the year. And so he figured he would kind of gather all the Philly expats together in San Diego. He moved there, opened a bar, and we'll be talking to Boomer here in a little bit. Of course, one of the things we'll be talking with Ray about today is not in addition to his play Tommy and Me that's running at People's Light Theater. And it was supposed to close this weekend. Apparently, it's been extended another week to the, I guess, February 8th. But he can give us some of those details. We want to ask him a little bit about old Jalen Hurts, that sort of weird bent backwards knee thing that Sirianni and company have been very vague about. All week long. They've said he's going to be ready to go on Sunday. But here again, it's one of those, strategic things. You play it close to the vest until game time, Lou.
Yeah, they don't want to give the other team any ammunition, because if they feel he's gimpy, they're going to target that. And if he's gimpy, then he can't run. And that means they could key on number 26, which Washington did a few weeks ago and shut him down pretty much. So it's a game of chess, not football, chess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then you've got, A.J. Brown. And he said, yeah, it was cold. It was snowy. He catches 98 other balls. He drops mm-hmm. two, and then Everybody's thinking he in some way has had some sort of mental collapse and has to resort to self-help books on the sideline. Nothing could probably be farther from the truth.
Yeah, well, he's just a great, great player, and he did have that ball just on the 2-yard line or 1-yard line, that miraculous catch, but they said he didn't hold on to it. And even the announcers say, what is a catch nowadays? They don't understand. I don't understand what a catch is. You have to have control. You have to have 2 feet in, 1 foot in, and 2 feet in the pros. And you have to do this and do that. I don't get it.
Yeah. And or you get most of the catch done inbounds, but a certain part touches the sideline and you're done.
Yeah.
You're absolutely done.
That was a tough ball to catch. Beautiful throw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and given the conditions, it hurts. Underwhelming in terms of just raw yardage, but efficiency was there. And guilty of holding the ball too long, but that seemed to be a career long, critique of him. But the wins pile up, and they just have to be crucial.
Wins. All we Vikings, do is win. All we do is win.
Another thing we can ask Ray is the likelihood. So they release the MVP finalists for, this year for the NFL, and Saquon's the only running back. The rest are quarterbacks. So what
it's
is the likelihood
that quarterback award, isn't it?
If a quarterback wins it, then they should just call it that, and that, quarterback MVP. But I think Saquon should win that award.
Lou, what's your pick for MVP?
Wherever the Eagles?
Yeah.
With Super Bowl for which game? Or for the season?
Yeah, for the whole season.
I don't know. It's too early to say. Season's not. I guess it goes by the regular season, not playoffs, because they have a separate MVP for the playoffs. But while we're waiting for Ray, have either of you seen that show? I've seen it twice.
I have not. And, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get out there by the time it has its extended close. What did you think, Lou?
It's fantastic. I happened to see it when it first came out. And not only was Ray there himself after the show to do a Q&A from the stage, the director, the writer, two of the stars, I just thought it was brilliant. And a typical Ray Dittinger, he's such a purist. He wrote it. He helped direct it. He helped pick the actors. He wasn't, an overbearing type of guy. He said, I want to do all this. He's just so talented, and he captured Tommy McDonald, who a lot of fans today never heard of, unfortunately. Yeah. Tommy McDonald in 1960 in that championship game at Franklin Field against Vince Lombardi himself and the Packers. where he caught a ball in the end zone and crashed into the table, and all the Gatorade, I don't know what they called it back then, went flying. He popped up like a rubber ball, came running back. I was there. I know 20 million people were there. I was there, and I could prove it because I had to go to the doctor the next day because I pulled a rib climbing over a fence from the railroad underneath where I finally found a place to park, climbed over the cyclone fence and pulled a rib. And the guy, the doctor had to tape me up, and I have a receipt I can show you.
I don't think I've ever heard of a rib being pulled other than like at a barbecue joint.
Well, I'm pulling your rib egg. I don't know here, but I didn't crack it. I injured a rib.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you what, because we're still waiting for Ray to come in. So, Tyler, if you want to bring in our second segment guest, our next guest grew up in Delaware County, PA, Chichester, to be precise, just outside of Philly. And he went out there, I guess, and he can kind of correct us on this, went out there to sort of achieve fame and fortune in Hollywood as a camera operator on shows such as Shark Tank and The Apprentice and Top Chef, just to name a few. But I guess, and we'll find out more from him, being on the road most of the year, that wasn't the way he wanted to kind of start his family. So he loaded up the truck and he moved to San Diego. And opened a sports bar, a Philly sports bar called Pretzels and Pints. A big Museum of Sports welcome to a guy who will unmute his mic any second now. That is Mr. John Boomer Iaconangelo. Did I pronounce that right?
You botched it up just like everybody else does, but that's okay.
Say it, Boomer.
It's Iaconangelo.
Iaconangelo. Damn it. Yeah, I missed it by that much. Hey,
that's
so
okay.
You grew up in Chichester, right?
I sure did. Yeah. Class of 1998 at Chichester High School. Yeah.
And so did you always have that wanderlust for going out west and doing the whole Hollywood TV thing? Or how did that get in your head?
I mean, I've always had a sort of adventurous spirit. there's been many times throughout high school and even college where my parents really had no idea where I was. So the fact that I moved out west was really no surprise to them at all or my friends. So here I was, moved out here in 2004, and it's been a wild ride. It's been great out here. I love it.
So talk to me a little bit. Now, what did you go out there intending to do, or did you have no idea and it just sort of happened?
I had no idea what I was doing. I actually moved out to Los Angeles because of a girl. It's always because of the women.
Yay.
And then and then once I finally settled down in Los Angeles, she happened to get a job with Arnold Schwarzenegger and moved up to Sacramento, and we broke up. And I just, at that point, I fell in love with the sort of casual, laid-back atmosphere, and had met some really good people in LA and decided to stay. And when I realized finally my funds were running out, I needed to work. So somebody said, hey, would you like to be a production assistant on this one show? And I said, sure. And the rest was just production assistant, assistant camera, the camera operator, the jib tech, and just kind of worked my butt off. First one on set, first one, last one leaving sort of mentality. And ended up making a nice little living for myself.
So what the celebrities on all of these shows, Shark Tank and The Apprentice, Top Chef. I mean, what celebrities did you get to work with?
Oh man. I mean, athletes. Well, Daryl Strawberry was one of them. I mean, it's been so long now. Joan Rivers, Bret Michaels, who was the original Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno. Hulk. Oh God. Who
could yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot. It's hard to remember because it seems like as soon as I kind of opened the Pretzels and Pints up and then had a family, all of those memories kind of get jumbled up and mixed up, and I kind of forget about them now.
Hey, I have a couple of questions for you. One is, How's the weather out there? We're kind of cold here. It was 6 this morning.
I don't want to brag, but I haven't put on a jacket all day yet.
Oh, get out. Yeah.
It was a little chilly this morning, about 62 degrees.
Yeah, that would be terrible here, I know. Well, how'd you get the name Boomer?
Boomer, I actually acquired that nickname when I was about 10, 11 years old in Seattle City, New Jersey. It's when Boomer Esiason was big, I played quarterback, with my friends on the beach, but it was really because of this one girl named Caroline.
Girl again. Yeah. Darn it.
She asked me a question. I'm not going to say what I said to her, but she's like, "Oh, you're a little boomer, huh?" And then she started introducing me to some of the more popular kids on the promenade, as Boomer. And I quickly realized that when I saw these people the next day, they're not going to remember Paul or John because they probably met 20 of them at this house party, but they remember Boomer. So I kind of rolled with it at that point.
Now you get out there, you meet somebody who would be your later wife, and she's from here, or she's from Bucks County.
Yeah, she's at Doylestown, CB West. I met when I was living in Venice Beach. My roommate at the time had some mutual friends that were visiting LA. And he said, I got my friends from high school coming. Come on over. Then we're going to go out to the bars. And they have some friends as well. So I said, yeah, the more the merrier. And so they all met at our small apartment. And we had a great time that night. And you can ask anybody in my wedding party, you're from my friends, that same night that I met her with her boyfriend at the time, once they left, I was having like a nightcap with my roommates and said, I'm going to marry that girl one day.
Wow.
And, it was about 10 years later, we finally married. But 8 years later, we finally started dating.
How'd you get rid of the boyfriend?
I killed him with kindness.
Yeah, I was going to say, he hasn't been seen again, Boomer. No one's seen him since.
I didn't really have to work that hard. She ended up getting rid of him, so that made my job easy.
Okay, cool.
So you want to start a family. You said it was a great piece in the Inquirer last week that you kind of saw these other folks on sets of various shows Skyping with their kids and missing all of their big events. That it kind of hit you.
Yeah, you know, it was I don't want to say I was ever a planner because I don't really, very spontaneous sort of personality, but I specifically remember it was actually on Survivor. We were on one of in Samoa, and there's, as a lot of you guys know, on these sets, there's a lot of downtime.
Oh yeah.
So we were just sitting around, and I remember an audio mixer Skyping with his daughter. And, you know, I walked up to him and he had this really sort of like sad bloom look on his face. And I was like, oh, what's wrong? And he basically mentioned, he's like, today's my daughter's 5th birthday. And I'm like, oh, well, happy birthday. It must be fun. He's like, these times are really tough because he's like, you know how many birthdays I've actually been to?
Yeah.
And I guess I'm like 1, 2, 3, 4. And he said 0.
Yep.
And at that point, I didn't know if I was going to have any kids, but I knew that I wanted to get out and have a family eventually. I didn't really know when that was, but I knew that's when I really started to think what's some different other avenues instead of being a lifelong production. I mean, granted, I miss it. It's very exciting. I mean, one weekend you're in the Fiji Islands filming a Miss America pageant. And then the following week you're in David Stern's office in New York City. You know, it's, you're like, well, how did I get here? This is amazing. But it's those really, the important moments when you get a little bit older of, you know, the family and being there for your kids that I tend to prioritize.
So you blow all that off, you blow off all the glamour, and you, like I said, you load up the truck, you move to San Diego. When and how did the idea of starting a Phillies bar creep into your head?
It actually happened pretty organically. I had a couple buddies of mine in LA that we wrote some screenplays together, whose father, you know, baked pretzels in San Diego. So when I came down here, I was commuting back and forth for about a year working on a show with Ellen. And I mean, it was waking up at 4, being up at Burbank by 8, you know, 13-hour day because of the walkaway lunch, and then grab some sunflower seeds and cruise back down to 4:05, take a 4-hour nap, wash, rinse, and repeat. So with that said, my friend's father approached me and said, we need to partner up. Let's partner up. And I want to put, he was already kind of wholesaling some pretzels. And he wanted to put it on a retail level. So we got together, we had a little partner. He taught me everything he knew. And I started opening up this little pretzel shop with his pretzels. And it was on a one-way street, kind of a dark parking lot, kind of set back.
Yeah.
And it ended up turning into this little hidden gem within our neighborhood. Because it was hard to find, and it was actually tough to get people in here at first, but it was all word of mouth. And, you know, being with my personality, always talking about Philly sports. I'll actually show you a picture on the wall of our first Eagles game of the group that we had. You know, I put up a little bit of, you know, a pennant, a couple pictures of, you know, some Philly athletes, and just started chatting it up with people and being as welcoming and, of a host that I could be, and bringing that sort of that Philly attitude of just being casual. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else, but this is what it is. You
exactly.
know?
And it's amazing how word of mouth will get around about a Philly sports bar in every town that has one. And when I travel, and if it's at all during the fall, I will seek that out. And some of the cities I'll visit, with any regularity, you know where they are, but usually a quick Google search and you're there.
Yeah, Philly people love to talk. You should hear my mother. Every time, even now, I'm 44 years old, we go out to the Acme when I'm at home. She's like, have you ever heard of pretzels and pies in San Diego? I'm like, Mom, I got it. It's embarrassing, but geez.
So, Boomer, what's it like on game day, at your Eagles game day, whether it's an afternoon game or a night game? Who comes in? Are they mostly transplants from Philadelphia or just people who like your colors?
Oh, a little bit of both. Mostly transplants. You'll see, I would say probably about 60% are people actually from Philly. Another 30% of that is, you know, their significant others or just being in San Diego, you know, the Chargers left. I don't even know, 10 years ago, whatever it is. So a lot of people who used to come here as Charger fans switched their alliance to Eagles fans because at that time, San Diego loved Sproles and he was an Eagle then. So they were like, you know what? Screw the Chargers. We're going to now root for the Eagles because of Sproles. And then they won the Super Bowl. And then they were a team. They were hooked at that point. So a lot of them, are previous Charger fans who are now, you know, flying high with the Eagles. And then another 10% would just be people that just like, you know, the electric atmosphere and just like, you know, the energy and sports in general.
How many people can you fit in there on a game day?
Man, how many people should we or how many people do we?
Well, I mean, how many do you
know? Whatever
the
fire marshal doesn't know.
We inside probably fit about, you know, 80, and then out on our patio, we have an extended patio that could fit about 100, but the patio is within a parking lot. So it's a private lot and the city has nothing to do with it. And then I work with all the other businesses to take over their parking spaces and extend that patio. So we could probably have about 200 people out there.
Hey, Boomer, we got to go to break here. Can you hang with us through the break and maybe take us on a little tour of the bar?
I'm here all day. I got nothing to do.
Excellent. San Diego Philly sports bar owner, Boomer Icoangelo. I nailed it, didn't I?
Psycho Ico, remember that?
Psycho Icoangelo is going to be back with us on the other side. Take us on a tour of his Philly sports bar in San Diego, California, when the Museum of Sports continues right here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
was in a rut. The economy, riots, Vietnam. That is, until the Broad Street Bullies rallied the region's spirits and brought more than 2 million into the streets to celebrate. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's candid memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You'll love the inside stories about Frank Sinatra, Ed Snyder, Ernie Perrant, Frank Rizzo, Elvis Presley, the 76ers, Mick Jagger, Electric Factory Concerts, and Kate Smith. And you'll find out how Lou Scheinfeld helped Ed Snyder rescue the Flyers and, against all odds, got the Spectrum built. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed first edition copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. The book the Philadelphia Inquirer called a fascinating and hilarious read. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. An ode to a building that truly rocked. The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatchi Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatchi is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat heart disease, hypertension, palpitations, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Dr. Nicholas Depatchi, MD, FACC, author of 4 books and over 100 articles and abstracts at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Did you miss a recent Museum of Sports show? No worries. You can see or listen to any of our previous shows on the Museum of Sports website or on our Facebook page. You'll love our lineup of great guests, including Merrill Reese, the Eagles' Vi Sekahema, Bill Berge and Kevin Riley, Flyers broadcasters Jim Jackson and Steve Coates, and the Phillies' always colorful Larry Boa. The Museum of Sports is on the air and Facebook, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 and Facebook Live.
From as early as 8:30 in the morning, people started lining up to get a spot at what has become the hub for Philadelphia sports in San Diego, North Park's very own Pretzels and Pints.
We're back here on the Museum of Sports show on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. I'm Doug Scheimel along with Lou Scheinfeld and Susan Baxter. We're continuing with our guest who's He's a Philly transplant out there in San Diego. He opened a Philly sports bar called Pretzels and Pints X number of years ago. He chucked the Hollywood and TV life and wanted to start a family. And now he plays host to all the Philly expats and exiles and people who just like the Phillies in general. Mr. Boomer Icaangelo, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thanks for having me on again.
So if you can, now the way we found out about you, there was a great piece in the Philadelphia Inquirer. And I guess every time there's, you know, the Philly, there's some sort of Philly, San Diego, something or other, you'll get, you know, media crews who are coming in from out of town. They're asking you, you know, okay, we want to do something in front of your sports bar. Do you still have a lot of folks back here who you get, you know, some feedback from every time they see on TV or in print?
All the time. Yeah. When this article came out, it was released at, you know, I think it was released at like 5 a.m. Yeah. Eastern Standard Time. So that would be, you know, 2 a.m. here. And I woke up to just my phone blowing up, bing, 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 and it was a welcomed distraction. Put it that way.
So, John Boomer, take us. Can you take? Are you mobile there? Can you take us on a little tour? All right, let me jump out of my share here and just kind of show us around. When people first come in the door, what do they see?
All right. Well, when they first come in the door, they'll walk here. I'll just start outside. So here's the patio.
Yeah. It's a good size out there, man.
Good size patio outside. Yeah. You know, and we have, you know, some murals over there that have an eagle on it. And, you know, I got the flags. There you go, Lou. Got the Flyers.
Oh, there you go.
You know, I actually grew up in a hockey household. Flyers are my number one, man. So let's go. We have, you know, eagles. So when they walk into the door here, you look to the left and we have a bubble hockey, which I custom made. I had the Flyers and then the closest.
Oh, can you push in on that a little bit there, Boomer?
Sure. Yeah, we got the Flyers and the Ducks here.
So, yeah. That's classic, man. That is classic.
Yeah, And every time I play, anyone wants to play, of course, I'm always the Flyers. And
yeah.
It's really the only arcade game that I'm good at. So I just like to kick everyone's butt in. And
well, that's like because our generation, you know, from your generation on to my generation, you know, that was all very manual style games. You know, when I play my son in Madden, I'm delay a game three downs in a row because I'm saying, do I want to do a screen? Do I want to do a draw? Do I want to do a, you know, and then Alec is just blowing through all these screens and knocking out these plays. But we all come from that manual pinball, you know, paddle hockey stuff.
Something physical, you know, something that if it breaks, I can easily fix it. pretty much. And then you walk in here and we have, this is our pretzel case. So we have all types of pretzels. We have the New York pretzels, Philly pretzels, Munich pretzels, jumbo Bavarian pretzels. We also do pretzel pizzas, pretzel sandwiches, and we have water ice here.
Yeah, there
that smells good in there.
Yeah.
No, it does. It does. It really does.
So you got a West Coast pretzel guy to make you East Coast pretzels. How long did it take him to figure that out?
He was originally from Brooklyn.
Oh, so good. Okay, close enough.
He understood. Yeah. And then you'll walk. So when I first opened up, there was a wall pretty much right behind me. And I pretty much built this whole side with my own hands. And right over here was my first bar. And then as I was serving people pretzels and then giving them beer during the day, then at night I would have all my tools on this side, building this side out.
Oh, wow.
And then on this side is our main bar. There's our GM, Nate. He's the Padre fan, so nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect.
He stayed on that side of the line.
Exactly. And then we just have a couple of our pals that come in here. We have this is the other side of the bar. But one of the things that I mentioned in the article, there's all of our merch. You can check out. We have a really great
merch
from a local artist.
Now, do you most of the other, you know, franchises, when they come to town, they hate coming to Philly. They hate the fans. Do you sort of try to keep that mythology going out there with the occasional staged, choreographed fight?
I mean, it's a little different out here. The anxiety isn't so much out here. Everybody are a little bit more laid back. So, if there is that sort of like hostile environment, people finally realize like, I'm pretty chill and they're over it real quick. So it's, a lot of opposing teams that come in here, during the Eagle games, they're always asking, you know, am I going to have any trouble? Am I going to, is there going to be anything wrong? And I say, look, this is nothing like Philly. Nothing like Philly. You'll be fine. Come on in. And to be honest, you know, their money spends too. So come on in. It's fine.
So you've been like a good ambassador. You've undone this brutal, this wrong, this fictional stereotype about Philly fans or not.
Or you just can't make snowballs in San Diego.
Now, what have you done anything like memorabilia wise, though? I didn't know if you started collecting stuff that you threw up on the walls there, picture wise, or.
Sure. Well, as we mentioned before, San Diego is such a transplant, city that most 90% of the things that I have on my wall here were just donated. They were from people saying, you know, this has been in my attic for 40 years. Here, put it on your wall. And I always kind of have a verbal agreement with them that if you ever want it back, you can have it. But some of the really cool things that we have are originals, and we have the entire paper, the little pamphlet. From October 22nd, 1980, the Philadelphia Inquirer, when the Phillies won.
Oh, wow.
Here's the bulletin. And then, you know, the Philadelphia Journal, the Philadelphia Daily News.
Right over here.
So all these covers. We have some old school pictures of some of the greats, Richie Putt-Putt Ashburn, Charlie Hustle down here. Here's another one over here of Steve Carlton, some old school Flyers pennants. And, you know, actually somebody just donated these to me
about
2 weeks ago, which I'm waiting. This is a 1976 Bernie Perrant card.
Nice.
Really?
And then I have like these 1974, all these cards you know, in mint condition. They say there's about an 8 or 9 of, you know, Bill Barber, DuPont, McLeish, Leach, you know, Bob Kelly.
All of Lou's guys.
All these guys right here. So I'm
my boys. Yep.
They're your boys. Yeah. So, yeah, Lou, you'll be expecting these in the mail soon. If you can get them autographed, that'd be great.
Yeah, well,
hey, Boomer, have you ever had any players come in? Phillies, Eagles?
No. I mean, no surprise. There was a rumor that Lenny Dykstra was going to stop by.
Oh, dear.
There was a, yeah. And then also, I have a friend out here. He runs a nonprofit in which John Kruk is heavily involved in. John Kruk was going to come here for lunch one time, but he got sidetracked and he needed to do something with the Tony Gwynn Jr. Foundation. So
yeah, he played for San Diego when the Phillies traded for him. Yeah. He's still laid back.
Yeah, exactly. My GM here, Nate, actually has a San Diego Padres John Kruk jersey, and I have a Tony Gwynn Jr. Philadelphia Phillies jersey. So when we go to the games together, people are like, what's going on here? They don't understand the history.
Now, we were talking during the break when it was Padres and Phillies in the National League Championship Series. What did you have to do in there? You didn't want any fisticuffs, but everybody's kind of laid back, as you say. But what did you do? You kind of had a demilitarized zone that ran through the bar?
Sure. Yeah. We actually had a Phillies flag on the right here and then a Padres flag on the left. And we actually got tape and taped a line going all the way down the bar. And it was literally Padre fans on one side, Philly fans on the other side. And man, that was a wild ride because it was literally a packed house on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the series. And then that was a week where the Eagles had a Thursday night game and then a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Wow. And it just kept going and going. Like, it was the cookie crumbled. And the way those crumbs fell was perfect business-wise. But we were all exhausted. I had to kind of give staff a pep talk every day. Let's go, guys. Come on. This isn't going to last. This isn't going to last forever. So enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride.
Can you get a decent cheesesteak out there?
You can. Yeah. I mean, it's never going to be the best, but there's a few places around here that do a good job.
Have you tried that on a pretzel? That would be kind of hard.
It would be kind of hard. Yeah. We tried to do a little bit on a pretzel, like just kind of test market, but we're a limited prep kitchen. And so we can't actually cook cure meats, just things that are already pretty much ready to eat.
Oh, gotcha. So, big NFC championship game this week. Commanders come to Philly Sunday afternoon. How are you feeling about that? And I'll ask for your prediction after you give me what your gut's telling you. We were talking about Hurts's knee. They say he's going to be ready to go. AJ's finished his book. everybody should be.
On to the next book. We'll see.
And what's the score prediction from you, Boomer?
I think the score is going to be, I haven't checked what the weather is going to be like. But assuming that it's good football weather, I'm going to say the Eagles 27, Commanders 14.
Good.
That's funny because
low scoring.
And I'll tell you, this Commanders team, I don't think anybody saw that, you know, coming out of them, or at least getting as deep into the playoffs as they did and to do as well as they did.
And you know, it's good to see the NFC East back on top, you know?
Well, finally. And of course, now normally my backdrop is I've been in Philly for over 30 years, and I have been an Eagles fan, except when they play my childhood team, the Minnesota Vikings. And back behind my little
sad,
32 team
sad.
Thing here, I had to lay my Vikings helmet down.
There you go.
Put it away. It hurt. My eyes.
No. Oh, these guys, everybody from Merrill Reese to Lou to Ray Didinger and everybody else, they're like, when are you going to ditch that thing? And I said, when they finally win a Lombardi trophy, I will put that away.
There you go. All right. There you go. And I can see you look good in purple, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You look better in green, though, dog. You look better in green.
Now, see, and I've got my little bit of apparel here on. But listen, Boomer, Ico Angelo, I can't thank you enough for spending some extra time with us. This is, of course, if you're ever out in San Diego, you want to go to Pretzels and Pints in North Park. That's a section of San Diego, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, it's a neighborhood. Yep.
And you can check them out online at pretzelsandpints.com. Boomer, Ico Angelo, I can't thank you enough. And just keep us posted. I'd be interested. Send me or just email me some of those cards that you have, and we'll have you back on and have our King of Sports Collectibles do a little spot appraisal with you. We call it the scare the crap out of the guest
That'd be cool.
Segment.
That'd be great. It'd be great.
Excellent. Listen, man, thank you so much. Go Birds, and keep us posted.
Thank you, guys. Yes, go Birds indeed. And I really appreciate the time and wish good luck with all the development with the museum, guys. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That was the other thing I wanted to ask you. What did you think when you heard that Philadelphia was finally going to get a Museum of Sports? And it's our partner, our King of Sports Collectibles family, is the world's largest and most valuable sports memorabilia collection. And
I thought, I thought exactly what you just said. Finally. I mean, with such a rich culture of sports history and how dedicated the city of Philadelphia is to their sports. I mean, there's no greater sports city than Philadelphia. So it should have its own museum of sports. I mean, it's going to do really well. And I'm excited to hear and read about the development and it opening up, I guess, in 2026, it's slated.
Yeah, we're hoping to get temporary quarters between now and then, and then permanent once Comcast Spectacor and the Phillies and everybody gets that new, completely redesigned sports complex. It's going to be pretty spectacular. Yeah, and Lou's dream will become a reality, Lou.
I hope so. And, you know, San Diego had a pretty good sports museum for a while, and it was open to the public, and then I heard it's only private, but they had a Rocky statue. You're probably aware that went up for sale a couple of years ago, and so we bid on it, and we dropped out at $250. And who bought it? Sylvester Stallone
outbid us. I remember that.
He went to $400 and something. You know, we're pikers, you know, and, and he put it in his foyer. And had Schwarzenegger over, and they unveiled it on New Year's Eve. They were wearing tuxedos. So, yeah, he beat us again.
Damn it. Well, Boomer, Ico Angelo, owner of Pretzels and Pints in San Diego, go Birds.
Go Birds.
Back on with a scare the crap out of you with those cards.
Anyway, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Psycho Ico from San Diego. And as our good friend Carly Simon says, these are the good old days.